3, verses 12 through 14. If you'll take your Bible, turn to that passage, Colossians 3, 12 through 14, but you'll also find it printed in your bulletin as well. And what we're doing today, we now are just continuing with our study in the Apostle Paul's letter to the followers of Jesus in the ancient city of Colossae. We've kind of been at it for a while. We jumped out of it for a while. We're back at it now for who knows how long, but we're going to be there for at least one Sunday. Colossians chapter 3, beginning there at verse 12, we read that Paul says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Jake Simpson sat quietly daydreaming in his fifth grade English class as his teacher reviewed some of the basic rules of grammar. He sat quietly, that is, until the teacher looked at him and said, "Jake, please tell me what it is when I say I love, you love, and he loves." "I'm not exactly sure," replied Jake, "but I do know that's one of those deals where somebody's going to get shot." Now, both Jake and the Apostle Paul spoke of love. And one saw love as that which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And the other saw love as a source of possible conflict. One was addressing the infallible love of God. The other was addressing, and I'm just going to be honest here and label it, the tainted love of people. Because, you know, we as sinners have a tendency that we will taint things, even love itself. And it would be interesting today for all of us to look at this concept of love, even look at the tainted love and say, you know what, that could give us some insight into life. But you and I both know we better be careful with that one. And so maybe what we need to do is just stay safe and look at this love of God, because we've been singing about the love this morning. It's been a blessing to us in song, and it's even more so a blessing as we look at it in the Word. And so let me begin by just asking you a rhetorical question. And the question is this: how can we know with absolute assurance that God loves us? You and me, how can we know with absolute assurance that God loves us? And more than likely, if I would allow you to answer that question, you would say, "Well, Joe, it's really quite simple." And I think it is simple when you think about it, at least for those of us who are true followers of Jesus Christ. It really is quite simple. Here's how we know that love. We know because we believe the Word, and we know because we look to the cross. We believe the Word. In fact, let me just pick one verse. One verse that I would venture to say is most often quoted by a variety of people, you and me included. But there's a lot of people who know this verse who are not even followers of Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world," and the world there includes everyone, you and me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." We believe the Word. We base our faith on the Word of God. When we can't make sense out of anything else, when the world is decaying and falling apart, we go back to the Word and we stand on what we believe. The Word. We don't believe us. We will let one another down. We will fail one another. But we go back to what is solid, what is true, what we can absolutely count on 100% of the time. That is the Word. We believe the Word. And if we believe the Word, then we have to believe that we are loved by the God who created us. But not only do we believe the Word, we also look to the cross. And when you think about it, I'm saying that this is one of the best of the best. When we need a picture, I mean, we're practical people. We need to see, feel, and touch. And when we want to see, feel, and touch, we look back to the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God shows us. Shows us. This is the picture that God gives us on a continual basis. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God is not obligated to love you and me. He doesn't owe us anything. We're not holy enough. We're not righteous enough. We're not beautiful enough. We're not talented enough to earn His love. But the scripture that we believe is very clear. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And the beauty of that verse, and you know it, but let me just remind you again. We did not have to get everything right in our lives for God to say, now I love you. Right? It says, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners. Still sinners. And that's the beauty. 9-year-old Floyd once said, love is foolish, but I still might try it sometime. And I thought, isn't that great? Love is foolish, but I still might try it sometime. This tainted love that I mentioned earlier, the tainted love of sinful people, it might be foolish. In many ways, it is foolish. But what you and I believe is that the unfailing love is God is shown to us by Jesus Christ willingly dying on the cross at Calvary. This is the epitome of wisdom. Wisdom. It's the wisdom of Almighty God sacrificing Himself for the salvation of spiritually lost and dying people. All people, you and me included. This is us. This is what we believe. This is what we look back to the cross and we see. We see this love of God. And so we believe, we look to the cross, and then once we do this, what happens? Well, we know something. We can't help but know something. And what do we know? We know what we believe. We know what we see, that we are loved. Every single one of us, no matter who we are, where we are in life, no matter where we're going in the future, we are loved. And isn't that the message that the world needs to hear? I mean, people were created. We were created to be loved. That's how God, the author of love, created all things. We want to be loved. Now, we're not like dogs. Cats, they deal with love in a different respect. But dogs, they want to be loved, don't they? I mean, dogs just, they're all over you, wagging their tail, looking up at you. Oh, please pet me. Please love on me. We're not like dogs, but we still were created like dogs in one way. Okay, maybe more than one way, but at least one way that I can think of. We were created to be loved and we were created to love. And folks, this is the beauty of what we know. This is what we know, that though we are wretched sinners, God loves us. God loves me. God loves you. We know that we are loved through this willful sacrifice of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ when He hung on the cross. And so every time we think about that, every time we see that, every time we read scripture about that, man, that just takes us back to that place and goes, ah, that's me. He loves me. And that's so vital. The world so needs to hear this. We were getting ice cream last night in Columbia Falls. And there at the ice cream shop on Nucleus on the corner, it's a new shop. It's got pretty good ice cream. There were a bunch of mugs, and on those mugs, scripture verses were written. And so my wife, the evangelist, who will talk to anybody about Jesus, says to the girl back there, hey, so you're a Christian? And the girl looks at her and goes, no. Well, that didn't stop barely. Now she goes in for the kill. Actually, she was very kind. She just simply said, well, you know, the reason I ask is I saw the mugs and I just wondered. And the girl said, well, I think it's because the lady and the gentleman who own the store, they're Christians. But I thought how beautiful it is that we can see certain things and it reminds us, it makes us think about our faith, what we believe, who we are. And hopefully it makes us think how much we are loved. If we could have said anything to that young lady last night, it would have been, well, you may not be a Christian, but you do know that you're loved by the God who created you, don't you? You know, that type of thing. Of course, hindsight is everything. Monday morning quarterback is everything. I wish I had said. But this is the message. This is what we believe. This is what we look at when we see the cross. And here's what this does for us. It allows us to be obedient to Scripture. This love of God, which has been given to us, which is now within us, it allows us to fulfill the commands of Scripture. This command found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Look at it again. Verse 12. Paul said, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved." Now, the chosen ones, holy and beloved, who is that? Well, it's those of us who know the love of God. It's those of us who are delighting in that love. When we know the love of God, when we're delighting in that love because we believe it, we see it in the cross, then we're told, put on. Remember, the phrase put on simply means you dress yourself in. You envelop yourself with. As I mentioned before, this is like you go to your closet and you look and you say, today, what am I going to wear? I think I will put on, and you take it off and you put it on and you cloak yourself in. That's what Paul is getting at when he says, put on. Those of you who are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And let me just point out one more time. That's all of us who, by faith, God given faith, are trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. This is us. We are called to put on. And what are we to put on? What is Paul telling us that we are to put on? Look at the bucket list here. Look at the characteristics found in those of us. Now, remember that. These are characteristics hanging in our personal closet that we can take and we can put on. Were that not the case, Paul would never say it. The Holy Spirit, through Paul, would never say to do this if we could not do this. So what he tells us now is, put on these characteristics. And if you'll remember from a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this inward transformation that is demonstrated in an outward manifestation all through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you white as snow, these are the characteristics that you are to put on, the characteristics that I am to put on. Look at them. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must believe. Or you must also forgive, I'm sorry. So, faithfully believing the word, constantly looking to the cross, and then knowing how much you are loved by the Lord God, our Creator. You and I, we are to continually dress ourselves and cover ourselves with these specific things. And let me just highlight them very quickly. I won't spend a whole lot of time on them, but let me at least highlight a few things about each of these. Here's the list. First, we are to put on compassionate hearts. Now, you know what the heart is. To the early writers, the heart meant everything, who you are. Down to the core. It's the essence of you. It is your inwards. It is every life breath that you breathe. This is you. With a compassionate heart, you are to feel, I am to feel, and let me carefully choose that word, we are to feel pity, mercy, and sympathy for others, even if they don't deserve it. Even if doing so goes against the grain of society's thinking, we are to feel with a compassionate heart. And not only are we to feel this, but we are to act on those feelings. Compassionate hearts don't just feel. Compassionate hearts also produce an effect. And there's the difference, isn't it? Those of us in relationships who love one another, hopefully we have a feeling of love. Touchy-feely. I love you. What a misused word so often, isn't it? I love you. But that feeling of love means nothing if it's not followed up with action. The guy I mentioned earlier that gave his wife the rain gauge, I'm sure he felt love for her. He kind of blew it in the gift itself. But he felt something for her. He wanted to give her an anniversary gift. Wrong choice, but he wanted to give her an anniversary gift. That was an action that was following the feeling. And let's be careful here. Sometimes we feel compassion and then we act on that feeling. Sometimes we don't feel anything. And so we act out of obedience, and then the feeling of compassion hopefully will follow. It's never right or wrong. It's not one or the other. We put on the feeling of a compassionate heart, then we act on that heart. Or we act on that heart in obedience to what we know is true from Scripture, and then the feeling comes. But you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to put on compassionate hearts. We're also to continually dress ourselves, cover ourselves with kindness. This is us feeling and acting out grace. Grace. This is us mellowing all that might be harsh within us and giving to others that which they do not deserve to receive. Right? That's grace. That's us looking at others, sometimes even ourselves, and being kind. Saying, you know what? You don't deserve this, but I choose to be kind to you today. I may not feel it, but I'm going to act on it. I'm going to act on it and trust that the feeling comes. Please come, or it won't continue. That's kindness. We are to continually dress ourselves and cover ourselves with humility. Now, humility is simply you and me thinking less of ourselves and thinking more of others. This is you and me considering the needs and concerns of others just as we would our own selves. Who do we take care of? Number one, I'm going to meet my needs for the most part. I'm going to take care of myself for the most part. And what we are being told in Scripture is that we are to put on the same type of behavior whereby we look and we say, what are your needs? What are your concerns? And how can I meet those? We're to continually dress ourselves and cover ourselves with meekness. This is us being willing to suffer injury instead of inflicting it. Now, you think about that for a moment. It feels pretty good sometimes to inflict injury, doesn't it? When we're hurt, when we're attacked, when we're ridiculed, when we're rejected, I'm going to find a way to injure you. Well, we're not to do that. We're to put on this thing called meekness, whereby instead of inflicting injury, we choose to be tolerant. And I know you hate that word in our culture today, tolerance. But listen, we're to be tolerant of other sinners just like us who strike out and hurt others through their sin. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes we don't have to boldly speak truth and say, that's wrong behavior. Get your act together, however you want to choose to say it, in kindness and humility. But sometimes, yes, while being meek, we still are to speak truth, because truth is what changes the hearts and minds of all of us. This is what we are to put on. We're also to continually dress ourselves and cover ourselves with patience. Now, you know what patience is. This is us not getting angry at others to the point of giving up on them. Is anger ever okay? Well, sure it is. Righteous anger, godly anger, that's okay. Of course, now you've got to be the judge of what it is. Either is it sinful anger or is it righteous, holy anger. You be the judge of that. But what we're really talking about here is not getting angry to the point of giving up on others. We look at their attitudes. We look at their behavior. And we want to tend to say, I wash my hands of this. I'm done. You get your act together and you and I can engage in relationship. Get your act together and you and I, well, I will love you. That's not putting on what Paul is telling us to put on. We are to put on patience. In other words, we're never to give up on one another. In our culture today, and I don't know about you, maybe it's not true but for you, but in our culture today, I'm pretty much done with people who believe a certain way or think a certain way or go a certain way. You know, I just want to say, you people are idiots. That's not the word that we're to use, but since we're all adults here. We've got to be careful, don't we? We just have to be careful that we don't give up on people. Because what does God want to do with all people? He wants to love them through us. He wants to show people, all people, regardless of their thoughts, He wants to show them His love. Well, folks, it's not going to happen if we're not patient with them. And we just keep going at it and going at it and going at it. Marriages don't last for years upon years by a husband and wife not being patient with one another. I have so enjoyed, I told Beverly this, I'm going to move out of the sun. Whew. I told Beverly this, I so enjoy our men's gathering on Wednesday morning. Now, I'm not the youngest of the group. I'm pretty close, I think. Until Ben comes, then he's younger. Until Jacob comes, he's even younger. But for the most part, I'm the younger one. And I love listening to all the guys share. It is so good because it is just great insight. And I really love it when they start talking about their marriage and their relationship with their wives. And I'm like, oh, you can say that? And what we say there never goes anywhere else. But if you want to know something about your husband at men's group, why don't you come? No, no, we won't do that. I love it because what it tells me is in any relationship, patience is required. And it's required when we are seeking to build relationships with other people for the sake of sharing them with them God's love. The last two, bearing with one another. This is us staying the course of Christ's likeness, even when other people hate us, disrespect us, threaten us, or show indifference toward us. This is us refusing to retaliate. It's us bearing with one another. And finally, we are to forgive each other. Folks, you know this, and we're going to come back to this one in the weeks to come and study this more because I think this is critical. This thing of forgiveness is huge. You know, we can talk all day about compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. But until we really get this thing of forgiveness down, I don't think we can really understand them all. So we're going to spend more time on that in the Sundays to come. But let me just say today that this forgiving each other is emulating the Lord our God. By being willing to forgive others, and here's the phrase, again and again and again, just as the God who loves us forgives us again and again and again. This is you and me developing and nurturing relationships with other people, even when doing so requires a constant reconciliation. And there's the bucket list. There's the characteristics that Paul says you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, are to put on. And I don't know what you think about these, but let me tell you some thoughts that I've had as I've looked through these. Thoughts such as, you know, this is really nice to consider, but Lord, it is impossible to carry out. Lord, you don't deal with people like I deal with people. Really? I've had thoughts such as, Lord, this is ridiculous because you cannot expect me to live this way. In fact, Lord, why don't we just delete Colossians 3:12-14 out of Scripture? And I've got it down pat. I've even had thoughts, Lord, I'm not even sure this is worth my effort. Wow. Wow. If it wasn't worth my effort, if it wasn't valid, the Lord God wouldn't speak through the Apostle Paul, put it in here and say, hey, folks, this is what I want you to put on. This is what I want you to dress in. Now, do you want to hear the Calvary come up and save us all? Do you want to hear the saving grace? Go back and look lastly at verse 14 again. This is the Calvary. Verse 14, and above all these, put on love. Above all these, by the way, above the compassionate heart, above kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Above all these, they're important, but above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Put on love. What love? The love of God. What love? The love given to each of us, though we are wretched sinners. That love given to each of us through the willful sacrifice of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the love with which we are to continually dress ourselves. This is the love which we are to ensure envelops us. Why? Because this is the love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. If we had 15 pianos in here, and every one of them were tuned with that tuning fork, would they be the same? Yes, they would. Yes, they would. They would all blend together in perfect harmony as long as they were tuned with the tuning fork. This is you and me. This is why Paul says, put on love which binds everything together in perfect harmony. All these characteristics that we look at and say, wow, God wants me to be kind and humble, and He wants me to show meekness, and He wants me to endure, and He wants me to forgive. How in the world can I do that? Well, we get tuned to the standard. The standard is Jesus Christ. And where is Jesus Christ? Here. Here. So how can we put on this love? Well, we put on the love that is already in us. Do you realize you are infected? That's a poor word, isn't it? In fact, I wrote that word down and went, no, I don't. I get it. In a day of COVID, should we use the word infected? But we are. In fact, why don't you this week give it a shot? Go out and see somebody on the street and say to them, hey, did you know I'm infected? And watch them. They'll just back up. Just like they don't have anything to do with us. We are infected as followers of Jesus Christ. We are infected with the love of God. We're infected with that. It embeds us. It's who we are. And you know this from this scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, first one is love, right? Love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What love is this? It is this steadfast, it is this unconditional love of God. This is our resource, folks. This is at our beckoning. It's at our fingertips. This is the love with which we are all infected. And if we're going to go out into this lost and dying, spiritually lost and dying world, and we are going to be love to them, let me assure you something that you already know. You will not do this on a constant basis. I will not do this on a constant basis. Do you know the only reason? Wow. Do you know the only reason why I love my wife dearly? And it's true. And she's not here to hear this. And don't you say a word? No. Do you know the only reason I love my wife dearly is because I look at Scripture and Scripture says, Joe, you, husband, are to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And I read that and say, well, I can't. And He says, no, you can't. But Christ in you can love the church, and Christ in you can love your wife. And so if I don't do it every day, about every other day, and certainly on those days when I'm thinking, I don't want to be kind to you, and I'm not humble today, and I'm not meek today, and I'm not bearing today, and I'm not forgiving today, and I'm going to strike out today. And the Lord says, wait a minute, wait a minute. Why don't you just let me love Beverly through you? And so that has become my beckoning prayer on almost a constant daily basis. Lord, today, love Beverly through me. You do it, Lord, because I can't. And then, what love am I depending on? That feeling of love? Well, it's there because, bless Him, He gives us a feeling of love. But more so, it is that feeling of action that follows the feeling. Or it is the feeling that comes because of the action when I am obedient. And see, that's what you and I, this is what we are called to do when we put on and we go out into the world. Lord, I can't. But You in me can. You in me can. So, Lord, please do it. Love the world through me. How do we practically step into this and make it happen? Well, look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 25. Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. In verse 25, he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Do you realize that you have to pull the trigger? Those of you who have guns, typically, they don't just go off by themselves. You know, criminals say that all the time. I didn't really mean to shoot him. The gun just went off. It's a possibility, but for the most part, you've got to pull the trigger. This is what happens with you and me out in the world. We have something in us, the love of God in us. But folks, we've got to pull the trigger so that we act on the love that God has placed in us. How do we do this? How do we pull the trigger? Well, we walk by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that we continually search the Scriptures, God's infallible Word, for the Holy Spirit to teach us. We get into trouble when we try to figure this out on our own. Folks, we've got to stay in the Word. Look at the Word. Trust that the Holy Spirit, Scripture says, He's the one who teaches us. We've got to stay in the Word and say, Holy Spirit, teach me today how to put on love for all these people who in my sinful flesh I don't even like. We have to continually yield to the prompting of the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to see the teaching, grasp the teaching. It's another thing to yield to it, to be prompted, and then to say, okay, how you lead, I'll follow. I mean, how many times have you been dragging your feet saying, I know God wants me to go over here today on love on so-and-so, but I don't want to. And so we stop and we back away. What a blessing we miss out on. What a blessing we miss out on, because God wants to love on that person through us. We've got to be willing to feel, to know what acting is required so that we go and love. And the only way we're going to do that is when we are being led by, prompted by the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, we must be faithfully rejecting, through the power of the Holy Spirit within us, those natural, sinful, self-centered tendencies to say, I do not want to do this. I do not want to do this. And man, is that a problem. Our country today, our culture today, they use the term all the time, it's so divided. Yes, it is. But do you know what would bring it back together? Maybe for the first time, what would bring it together? If every single one of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God loved people like we are called to love people, whether they love back or not, whether they reject us or not, whether they listen to us or not, if we love on them, what has taken place? I tell you what has taken place. The sun, Jesus Christ, has risen and is shining now on people who, if they are listening to the Holy Spirit, they will go, oh, that's love. God loves me because I'm looking at you and you are loving me. That doesn't make a bit of sense because I hate you, but you're loving on me. So tell me more about the God who loves us both. Folks, that's what would change the world. And I know you have heard that all your life, but it's really true, because God is the God of love and He wants the world to know Him as this God. So if we keep dressing ourselves with the Holy Spirit in us, Jesus in us, God's love in us, and we show this to the world in the way that we treat them, engage them, I guarantee you it will make a difference for kingdom's sake. Guarantee you. Paul David Tripp says this about us as followers of Jesus Christ. And I love this, because I don't know about you, but when I was first reading through this, studying this, I thought, man, that is heavy on my shoulders. What a responsibility I have to go out and love this world. Listen to Paul David Tripp. This is what he says in his devotion book, New Morning Mercies. He says, you don't have to worry about these things for one simple transformative reason. You don't belong to you anymore. You have been bought with a price. So your life is now under new ownership and new management. The God who now owns you is committed to keep you and care for you. He is committed to supply everything you need. The God who owns you is in personal and careful control of every situation, every location, and every circumstance of your life. He covers your past with His grace. He protects, provides for, and empowers you in the present. And He holds every aspect of your future in His sovereign and gracious hands. Yes, because you were purchased at the price of His blood, you don't belong to you anymore. but that is a good thing. The one who now owns you is a wiser and more powerful manager of your life than you ever would have been. He cares for you with magnificent grace, immeasurable wisdom, and limitless power. Being owned by him means you are in the best of hands. It means you are no longer burdened by living for you. A new owner has taken control of your life, and this new owner is more capable than anyone or anything you could give your life to. So, he says, when you get up tomorrow, remind yourself of who you are and what you have become. God's grace has welcomed you to rest in peace because that grace has placed your life under new and capable management. The one who is Creator, Savior, and King has taken ownership. What could be better than that? And isn't that true? Isn't it true that when we really grasp that we are loved by the God who created us to the point that if we will just release ourselves to him, he'll take care of it all? Isn't that such a wonder in our lives? Now, you may say, Joe, you're talking academically here. You don't know my situation. You don't know what I have to deal with in my relationship with others. And you're right, I don't. But God does. And what does he want for us? He simply wants us to tap into the resource that we have, the Holy Spirit of the living God in us. And based on yielding to the Holy Spirit, keep putting on, keep dressing ourselves with the love that makes all the difference. You want me to leave you with a challenge today? Well, whether you want me to or not, I'm going to give it to you. Here's the challenge. Maybe you just need to start once a month. I'll be fair to you. Not every 6 months. That's a little extreme. But at least once a month for a time. What if you go before the Lord and you simply say, Lord, who do you want to love through me this month? Do it for 1 month. That's the challenge. Do it for 1 month. And watch what happens. And then, do you dare once a week? Lord, who do you want to love this week through me? And then maybe it has become such fun and you are so enjoying loving people that you'll say on a daily basis, Lord, today, who do you want to love through me? And be careful. Be careful, because you ask him that and he's either going to put the name up in the sky, probably not, or he's going to put you in a circumstance where all of a sudden you are just being you and you're frustrated and you're going, oh, this is it. This is him. This is her. God will do that, won't he? Because he is the God of love. His desire is to redeem others. And he wants to use you and he wants to use me to do that very thing. But I'm not equipped. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Just keep putting on the Holy Spirit, dressing yourself in the Holy Spirit. And watch what he does. Watch what he does. And then we'll come back together on a monthly basis, maybe a weekly basis, maybe a daily basis, and say, who did you love today? And we can say, oh, let me tell you about this beanhead over here. No, we won't. We'll say, this is the child of God who he wanted me to love today. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about her. Let's pray together. Father, I just rejoice that your word is so powerful, so true. It's what makes life for us. It makes all the difference. And Lord, your word is very clear. We are to put on. And it's also very clear that we can't put on unless we rely on what we have been given to dress in, and we've been given to dress in the Holy Spirit. So I'm asking, Father, that in the days ahead, that we will accept the challenge and we will look to put on love, which brings everything together in perfect harmony, and we will be Jesus to other people. And Father, thank you for giving us the blessing of doing this, because it will bless our socks off if we're faithful to it, and it will cause us to look again at you and go, what an amazing God you are. Because you are the one to get all the praise and the glory and the honor. Father, don't let anything be remembered today except what is the truth of your word, and then embed it deep in all of our hearts and all of our minds. And Father, make it so that we can never escape from it, because I know you want us to be like Jesus. And deep down, Father, that's what we want, to be like Jesus. Father, build our church. not just the church here at Glacier, but build our church all around our city, all around our state, our country, our world. And Father, you please always receive the glory and the honor. And we'll bless you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.